All right, we're starting up again. You're working for the engineering,
civil engineers.
And I think we determined we're talking about like probably 1971, 1972 here. And then you left them after a couple of years to go work for
AC Transit.
AC Transit, right, as I was calling it a publicity director, but you edited their...
Well, I was a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Plus editor of the publication.
Right, and this was a monthly publication that was distributed to... distributed internally to employees of the company, but I
it was also externally distributed to a mailing list.
Right, right. And we used to get it. I used to read it every month. Okay, there was columns in there about employees. There was interviews with satisfied riders. There was information about bus routes and changes and just things of interest to your patrons. So you did that for, what do you think, is another 4 or 5 years?
Well, I was there 5 years.
Okay.
Okay.
And before we started recording, yes, we are recording, I recall that you oversaw the filming of a commercial for the buses.
Not really. I was just an actor filling a role, a very small role.
Yeah, well, I thought it was very cool to see you on the TV. You were just, you know, this commercial for the buses, and there you are sitting on a bus
seat.
Bus seat, reading a newspaper and looking thoughtful. So, hey, look, there's my dad on TV. Don't blink.
Of course, I'd been on TV many times for AC Transit.
As a spokesperson?
As a spokesperson.
I see. Well, those were like news shows for...
No, they were news.
News, right. That's what I'm saying. Announcements of...
news show.
Announcements of bus route changes and...
Well, and then there was the strike.
Oh, right.
Right. And I became the spokesman because nobody else wanted it.
And did you work out of Oakland? Was that where your offices were?
Where?
Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Downtown Oakland.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way... Oakley was the name of the judge.
Aha.
O-A-K-L-E-Y.
The guy that you worked for, who was running for Attorney General.
Attorney General.
How about that? You said it would come back to you.
Well, you said Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Oakley.
Yeah, yeah.
First name, can't remember, but it may come.
Yeah.
So I called him judge.
I remember you would bring the San Francisco Chronicle home. Every night, you would pick it up on the train on the way in, I think, and read it cover to cover.
And on the way in, yes, because it was a morning publication.
Right, right. So you
I would read as much as I could by the time I got to Oakland.
Right, and then read the rest on the way back.
Probably.
Yeah, or work on the crossword puzzle. I just remember, I have a distinct memory of getting that day's San Francisco Chronicle at night, and that's when I first started reading that newspaper. So you were there for 5 years, and somewhere in there, you got it in your mind to run for state assembly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that was 1974.
Because they had redistricted.
Okay, so tell me about that. They had redistricted, and actually, people came to you, right?
Some did, yes. Mm-hmm. Was I interested? And I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it a shot, but. The guy I was running against was the incumbent.
Alistair McAllister. And they had redistricted, so the Fremont area was new to his precinct.
Yes,
now,
totally.
In his district.
Almost anything in Alameda County was new to his district.
Right. He was based out of where? South?
San Jose.
San Jose, yeah, okay.
But there's a little story that precedes that.
Mm-hmm.
I had been making some noises about running for the legislature, and the word got up to Sacramento. There was a guy named Carlos B. who represented all of Fremont before redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
So when redistricting came along, of course, the legislature can draw their own lines. And because Carlos got the word that I might run against him, and he wasn't that strong anymore. He had been there too long. He'd been too many times drunk on the floor of the legislature.
Okay.
He had not made enemies, but he had lost friends because of that, and and just an overall terrible record as far as attending, because he'd be home drunk. I mean, this guy was bad.
Yeah.
So when the Lions were drawn, we were living on Cruz.
On Cruz Court, right?
Mm-hmm. When the lines between the districts were drawn, it went up the middle of that road behind our house.
Paseo Padre Parkway. So you were inside the district by about 10 feet.
I was inside the new district, well, the one from San Jose, by about 10 feet.
Yeah.
And Carlos was safe from my scourge.
Oh, because he was in the new district on the other side of
on
the
other side.
Okay. Wow. So then this new district was created, sort of carved out, and being represented by this Republican, Alistair McAllister.
No, he was a Democrat.
Oh, he was a Democrat.
Yeah, I ran against him in the primary.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a new district. I figured so much of the district was in Fremont that I had a chance.
That's right. Now that you say that, it makes sense. Because, okay, all right. So you, so then people approached you? Or
it was more my idea.
It was more your idea. Yeah. Okay, all right. And you had, but you felt like you had enough.
Well, I had enough support in the Fremont area
that
I thought I could pull it off. Obviously, I went in not knowing a few things, which was that McAllister was not a dumbbell at all.
Yeah.
And he had lined up the teachers long ago behind him.
Mm.
Teachers are a potent force.
Sure.
In politics. So they went behind him and supplied the money. Now, it was a clean, very clean election. I didn't say anything bad about him. He didn't say anything bad about me. He won.
Yeah.
So but at least I tried, you know, and I think people ought to at least try once.
Yeah. Yeah. So my recollection.
Now, B, I would have beaten.
Sure.
Because, first of all, again, I'd pick up all this support in Fremont, and he had not, like I say, not made enemies, just so much as people who were disgusted with him.
Did he get reelected?
He did, because he had nobody else running against him.
And did you start eyeing the house across the street?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so, because I think it was from there that I went on active duty.
Well, so right around that time, your mom got divorced. It was right after.
Well, but that didn't happen until I'd been on active duty for several years. Several years.
So, okay. So we're talking 1970. Well, you guys. Okay. So we moved between.
Yeah, you moved to that smaller place.
To the condo.
The three of you.
Right. Between 7th and 8th grade. Okay. So you guys separated. At that time, we sold.
Well, I went back on active duty.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of it as being permanent. I thought it was, hey, let's live apart for a while.
Well, so I remember before the apartment, weren't you? This is another name I'm pulling out of the air. Weren't you sharing a house with Dick Kerr?
No.
No, I seem to recall. Okay, never mind. I may be conflating things. Remember Dick Kerr?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. I thought you were sharing a house with somebody for a while before you got your own apartment.
So.
Okay, so you got your own apartment.
I had my own apartment.
And that's when you were called to active duty. So right. you were called. See, this part was never clear to me. I thought, I guess I didn't understand what was going on at the time. I thought you had sort of pursued active duty, but you were
no. You
were called, and you went to.
But I didn't turn it down.
But you didn't turn it down,
no.
And you went. This is when you went to Indiana,
mm-hmm.
Fort Benjamin Harrison.
Yes, Benjamin Harrison.
Right.
Right.
And you were there for.
Oh, about 9 months.
Was that all?
Yeah, it was a long course.
Oh, okay.
It was an officer advanced course, but. They wanted me to get that training and then fill this spot in the headquarters.
Okay, so this would have been 1974 because I came out. That seems right. I think that the summer I turned 13.
Probably or 74, or maybe 75.
Maybe 75. Yeah. Okay, all right, because we moved in 73. You mom sold the house on Cruz Court. We moved to the condo, mom, Shannon, and I. And you essentially never lived there. You had your apartment at that time. That makes more sense. So there was the following.
And by the way, I think it's important to note that we didn't fight. We just grew apart. She grew one way, and I'd been growing another way for a long time.
Sure. I mean, you know, I look at you two now, and I hope you don't take offense to this, but I can't imagine you being married. You're just very, very different people, mm-hmm. you know. And that, I mean, you guys got married when you were teenagers, you know, and by this time you're approaching 40.
Pretty close.
Yeah. You know, you just turned out to be, you know, what the things that you had in common back then. You just kind of, you know, you
just drifted apart.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we won't, you know, we don't have to, that has its own history. We don't need to get into here. So yeah, I guess 75, you were in Indiana because I came out and spent a week or two with you. When you were in the...
We went to Fine McCordsville.
We went to Fine McCordsville. You lived in a BOQ.
Yes.
And I slept in a cot or a couch or something there. So it was my first trip out of state, other than, you know, when I was a baby. I think I pulled out of a phone book just to see if there were any McCords. In the phone book, and I found all these listings for McCordsville, which was about, I'm going to guess, I didn't have a sense of scale at the time. Maybe
20 miles north and then a little east of Indianapolis.
Right. Still there, by the way. I looked up on the on their website.
We hope it's still there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you never know. You know, towns.
That's true, small towns.
Small towns get incorporated. So I just really wanted to take a trip there. I had no reason to think that we had any relatives. I was just curious, and I had never been in a really small town like that. We took a weekend. We didn't know anybody. We just drove there. I'm going to give you my recollections, and you fill in the details. And we just kind of drove around the town, went into a general store, kind of said hi. We're the McCords, looking for someone to talk to, maybe tell us a little bit about the history of the town. And they sent
us. I thought
it
was a church.
Yes, yeah, that's what leading up to. Someone sent us to the local pastor, who was didn't grow up there, as I recall, but had been there a few years. And he told us, you know, that there were three prominent families in the areas of the McCords, the Smiths, and the Apples. If I recall.
Well, Smith and Apple are Mormon. I mean, they're good Mormon names.
Okay.
There were lots of Mormons, still are in Indiana.
All right.
Lots of them.
And then he sent us to go...
On the farm.
On the farm to go meet the oldest person he could think of who was a McCord.
Yeah, I don't remember his first name.
I don't remember his first name. It was an old name. And he was... Well, again, I was just a kid, so I don't have a sense of scale. But he was really old.
Yes.
He was like 79.
Oh, I don't think he was that old. No, I think he was in his late 50s.
But I remember being impressed because his wife, who was a few years younger than him, told us that when they were courting, that they went to the same church that would make sense that they were mostly Mormons. Or he didn't go to the church in McCordsville, so as a young man he would pack up his horse and buggy and go to the church in the adjoining parish, and they met there and they met at church and they went to a few dances. And she was really impressed by him because he had been to Europe in World War I. And one day he asked her father's hand for his for his daughter's hand in marriage, and he assented, and she got
father's hand in marriage.
He asked her father for his daughter's hand in marriage, and she assented, and she moved from her father's farm to his farm, about 30 miles away, and that was as far as she had ever traveled.
Well, he had also made one other trip besides World War I, all the way over to Ohio. That was the extent of his travels.
Hmm.
Oh, occasionally go into Indianapolis, like on a Saturday night, but that was, he just said that was just rare and occasional.
Yeah.
And here you had just crossed 3/4 of the country by yourself.
Right, and I was fascinated to meet people that, you know, we shared lifetimes, and that was all they'd ever traveled. We're going to pause
Maryland,
for a moment.
Could I? Oh, you're